Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at NJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Oh, good morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning. Good morning. We said yesterday, and literally any scenario could happen. It wouldn't surprise us.
Yes.
That, you know, didn't surprise me. It's happened before.
Right.
It's happened before. It's just we had kind of hoped there would be, they would get past that happening at some point. And I just think this is who this team is. There'll be some nights where they can't be beat.
Right.
And there will just be times where there is no front court.
That's it. Didn't it give you a sense of the NCAA tournament doesn't look so good for this team because you need 4 or 5 games where you get what Kentucky needs from the front court. Kentucky hasn't gotten that in that many games. It's gotten it maybe 3 games in a row this season.
Mm-hmm. But at most.
Yeah. That's it. So you have to have that consistency in this game. Jamal Murray tried to carry the team across the finish line.
It's tough to throw in a clunker when it's one and done from that standpoint. I mean, you just can't miss a ton of free throws. You can't have nobody on the inside. You can't have the most box of chocolates player I've ever seen in Alex Poitras. Just like
it is. You
for 4 years, and granted, you know, he was hurt last year, but for 4 years, it's been you just don't know.
Look, Marcus Lee was not bad, but it wasn't enough. I mean, if Marcus only takes 2 shots, which he did, they were both lob dunks, right? I'm pretty sure they were both lob dunks.
And he still made some just stupid fouls you just don't have to make.
I mean, overall, 9.6 rebounds, 3 blocks. That's not bad, but it's not good if the other bigs, Poitras, Labissiere, Humphreys, go 0 for 3, 0 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks.
Yeah.
0 points, 3 shots. The bigs took a total of 5 shots the whole game. I mean, you can't have that.
No.
You cannot have that. And Ulis and Murray cannot do it all by themselves. Because then, if Ulis has a game like he did yesterday, you're in trouble. Heck, if Ulis plays well, they probably win, and then you can say, well, they can do it by themselves.
Right. I mean, they're the best 2-man team ever assembled. Because Jamal Murray, they couldn't stop him.
No. They had no answer for him.
They couldn't. But at some point, I mean, even at the end of the first half, he was trying to get himself out of the game. I mean, he was exhausted.
He was. It's just too much pressure on him. It's too much on him.
On any one player. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Let's go to the phones. David is on the line. Good morning, David. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
We're good.
Doing well.
Yeah, what's going on, Mary Jo Frio Ford? I'm a good friend of John Ford.
Both our teams lost yesterday. So both his team and my team lost yesterday, so wasn't a happy day.
Oh, yeah. How's that baby doing?
Oh, she's amazing. She's amazing.
Yeah. Well, we got to talk about it, and man, you know, just another SEC road loss.
Yeah,
this team. It's funny how in the SEC, the home team should really get like about 7 or 8 points. I mean, that's just the way it goes. You know, we get it, other teams get it. I mean, so you can't really complain about it because you act like, you know, there's not a officiating benefit from being at home in the SEC, then you're just, you know, ignoring the, you know, what's right to face. But for our bigs, like you guys said, just to really not be there, not show up, not do anything, Alex Poitras, you're a senior. I mean, I'm not even 6 foot tall, but I'm going to get a free throw.
Yeah.
But
he took that he made, he traveled.
Yeah. And it wasn't a travel. I didn't think that was a travel.
I didn't think it was a travel. That wasn't a travel. No, that wasn't a travel. I didn't think it was a travel.
But at the same, you know, I mean, you can't not hit free throws. It's just like everything that you can't do, they did. Again.
Yeah.
They missed Derek Willis something awful.
I mean, they were 10 for 23 from the free throw line. 10 of 23 from the free throw line.
And then for every point, like, yeah, Jamal Murray is great. You know, but if our guards can't stay in front of people, nobody talks about this, like how great Tyler Ulis is, and he is, and Murray. But you got to help our bigs. Like, you got to stay in front of somebody off the bounce. I mean, we all played basketball when we were little kids, you know, just slide your feet. Like, our guards cannot stay in front of people. They constantly drive, and they don't cut them off. They don't slide their feet. You have to stay in front of somebody. Like, yeah, you scored almost, you know, what do you have, like 20-plus in the first half? I don't know the numbers on it, but, I mean, it's almost like the same reason we all love Willis. I love Willis. I'm from Kentucky. He's from Kentucky. But when Willis scores 18, his man might score 16 or 18. I mean, it's a wash. I mean, you got to stay in front of people, like on the dribble. We just don't do that. And, you know, our bigs, we don't have Anthony Davis where we can, you know, funnel them into the inside and then, you know, get blocked shots. That's not
right.
We have to stay in front of people, and we can't do that with this team.
I think
don't stay in front of people.
Part of it is, I think, the ball pressure. I think the Calipari's emphasized a little bit more the ball pressure on defense. And so if Ulis and Murray, you know, get up too tight, it's, you know, easier to get blowbys to happen. And then the rim protector thing, that's a Calipari thing. Like, he's had a rim protector every season except this one. And Kentucky still leads the SEC in block shots. Still leads the SEC in block shots, even without that.
And they're relied upon so heavily on the offensive end. And they may try to even do too much, but at some point they have to. I mean, you cannot trust the guys inside, so they have to do it. And now it's like to play and I know they're 18, 19, 20 years old, and Tyler's played every minute of every game, it seems like.
He's tired.
But it's too much to ask sometimes. And it just is. And I cannot figure out why the other guys why there can't just be a third guy. And in my mind, it was Derek.
How about when Dominique Hawkins gets in? Why not let him run the point? Like actually take Ulis out of the game. Let him breathe on the bench and put Dominique Hawkins in and just let him be a facilitator. And when they put Dominique Hawkins in, they like make it seem like he's like a shooting guard. And then Ulis still brings the ball up the court and he's still, you know, working extra. Like Hawkins, he's not really, you know, he can score. He hit some threes against Louisville. But I think when Dominique Hawkins gets in, Ulis should come out and actually breathe, you know, talk to Coach Cal, talk about what you guys are going to do. Like, let him take a break. He gets no break.
You remember,
I don't think Tyler wants to come out. I think that's part of it, too.
Tyler wants to come out.
And it's probably been about a month now since we heard Kenny Payne and Calipari say, all right, we got this plan. We're taking Ulis out of the game no matter what. Yeah. No matter what, he's coming over to the bench and sitting down for a few minutes.
And
that
they kept
still
saying,
hasn't happened.
And they kept saying, we just need Dom back. We need Dom back.
Right.
Can't wait till Dom gets back.
Well, he's back.
And I just get the sense, and thank you so much, David. Appreciate the call. I just get the sense that when Dominique comes in, if he doesn't hit that first shot that he takes, it's not great for him.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go. Thank you again, David. Let's go to Steve. Steve is on the line. Steve, welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Good morning.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How are you? Big night for you, the Oscars tonight.
I know. I'm pretty pumped about that. Go Mad Max. I got to say, you know, regards to yesterday, I mean, it's just this team just doesn't have it mentally. They don't have that killer drive. You know, it's been apparent all year. Yesterday,
I think two players have it.
Okay, guys not named Tyler Hawkins or Tyler Ulis. I mean, who's the other one?
Sorry. Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray. Literally, if you're not those two guys, everybody else on that team, I'm just poisonous. I mean, I don't know what's up with him. I mean, this is the type of year, if you're a kid wanting to go to the NBA, this is the type of year that, like, you're sitting there like, I want this year. Give me the ball. I can help us inside. And it's just some games, it just looks like he's asleep.
And it's funny how frustrated Cal is at this point, because I would say I've noticed it over the last month or two, but then I think about it, and it's happened, gone on longer than that. If he has ever asked a question about Alex, the answer is, you'll have to ask him.
Yeah.
He just won't even talk about it. Just ask Alex, why do you suck half the time? Yeah. Why are you great half the time and suck half the time?
I mean, it's frustrating him because Cal's given him every opportunity to succeed, and the guy just won't do it. It's just like, dude, where's your head at? You know, I mean, this system is set up for you to succeed, and it's immediately frustrating, and it hurts us a lot. Also, I want Cal gone after this season. I understand he's a young man. He needs to work on this or that. I want him gone. I'm sorry. He just doesn't have it. Of any player we have had come to Kentucky, I'm dead serious. Any player we have had come to Kentucky with as big a hype as he's had, he's been an absolute utter bust. I can't think of anybody that's come in with the hype he's had that is just – he's bust, guys. I mean, he just
Alex Legion?
But as far as hype goes, preseason hype.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of preseason hype. But look, the whole thing is so different now. You're judging these kids on the high school and expect them to make immediate impacts and become superstars as freshmen.
Some of them do, and
some of them don't.
A lot of them have here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them have done that here.
What about the kid from Mississippi State, Malik Newman? Have you heard much about him? Freshman of the year?
Yeah.
Player of the year? No,
not at all.
Nothing. He was going to come here. He chose Mississippi State over Kentucky. I mean, some of them just don't have it. I mean, if he doesn't,
the three guys that went to Cal, who are that? I mean,
right? Don't know. I understand the hype, and so much was expected, but he is still just a freshman who needs time. Some of them need time, like Willis needed time to get to this point. Scal just needs time.
Well, I mean, we're just in a world now where it's, you know, the one and done player, and it's like if you stay at college 3 years, it looks bad now, you know?
But
in the past, it looked great. Now it's like he's there 3 years. Who else is here on the board?
But why would you want him gone so bad? Kentucky's going to have a loaded roster like Bam Adebayo and Sasha Kalia Jones. I mean, if he can hang with those guys and develop, he's going to be great. If he can compete with those guys and earn any minutes at all, like Eloy Vargas minutes, anything beyond that, then he should be okay. I mean, you don't have to worry about him screwing up the game or anything. Not next year.
I'm just insanely frustrated with him. Because, again, we needed another big guy, and he's just standing there.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, my God. Please, if you're not proving leave, please. Hopefully some pro club is convinced he's good and take them.
I mean, I wouldn't. If I'm a GM and my job depends on who I'm taking in the first round, I just wouldn't. I just couldn't do it.
Speaking of, did you read the Kyle Tucker story in the Courier Journal about Dakari Johnson?
No, I have not, actually.
Well, he's playing on a D-League team with the Oklahoma City Blue.
We needed him.
That's it.
I've talked to people, and people have said Dakari was here this year's Cal would be much better because he could take
And look at how many times we've discussed, other guys. Like, why can't I think of his name from Wilmer? Wilmore, the guard.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Jared Polson?
Jared Polson. Okay.
Yeah.
So every day in practice, he went up against John Wall or Eric Bledsoe.
Right.
And he didn't even go against those guys because he was too young and wasn't here then. But you understand what I'm saying. They're going against pros.
Competition was better.
Yes, in practice. And Scal's going up against Marcus Lee and Isaac Humphries, who when they're on the court obviously struggle a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And maybe with the big men, like Dan said, who come in next year, maybe that's a different scenario for him.
But Dakari has developed so much in the D-League, according to the article, that he is hitting jumpers, making moves inside, passing out of double teams.
We wouldn't even need Scal to be all that good if Dakari was here because Dakari would be playing.
Like if Dakari was playing the way he's playing right now in the D-League, the way I read it, how he's described as playing, if he was playing that way right now at Kentucky, he would maybe be a lottery pick. That's how well he's playing right now.
And we'd be a better team because of it. That's exactly what we would need right now. You know, instead of poor Tyler having to play every single minute, I'm worried Tyler's going to get hurt. I mean, I've been worried all year. you know, just the amount of minutes he's playing and all that, it's just, I'm worried. You know, it's just, I think at some point Cal's just going to be like, look, I know you don't want this. You're sitting 2 minutes. I'm sorry. You need to rest for a couple minutes.
Well, thank you, Steve. Enjoy the Oscars tonight. It's one of those things where this year it just couldn't be easier to scout Kentucky. It could not be easier.
Yeah, you're not kidding. 381-1313 is the number to call on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Get in here and talk about this. A lot to talk about, really, a lot. We mentioned Ulis being tired coming up, Willis, him being and not being available yesterday. Steve just mentioned the team doesn't have it. Calipari addresses every one of those things, and we'll let you hear it coming up next on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Catch the Dan and Mary Joe Show Saturday and Sunday, brought to you by Republic Bank. It's just easier here.
If you're a student entering a community college or university, check this out. You can save money in college tuition by finishing your degree on time. Just earn 15 credit hours each semester or 30 a year. Do the math. The longer you stay, the more you pay for a college degree. Talk to your advisor and make a plan. Take 15 to finish on time. Get in, get out, get going. Visit knowhowtogoky.org.
This message is sponsored by knowhowtogoky.org.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
I'm going to tell you something that the insurance industry is going to be absolutely furious about me sharing with you. Most consumers, year in and year out, just renew their existing insurance policies blindly. You may not even notice the rate increases, but they're there. Over the years, you are paying way too much needlessly. My suggestion, each year, get a new quote from 3 independent agents. And don't use the online services. They're owned by insurance companies. If all of us did this every year, we would save billions of dollars in business, life, disability, and auto premiums. And if your agent doesn't add uninsured motorists to your policy, don't buy from them. They're not on your side. At Morgan & Morgan, we represent consumers. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to 4-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Joe on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know, again, I'm not that. Look, I like to win every game I coach. Tyler had a tough one, couldn't make a shot. How are we going to win if he's not making, you know, he had a tough, it's the first game he had, it's the first dud he's had. And I say dud, he had 6 assists one turn. What I said to them after the game, as bad as it was, guys fouling themselves out and all the other stuff, bad as it was, we took a quick 3 in transition, we should have driven the ball and tried to get 5. It was an 8-point game. We get the game to 4, okay, 4. Scal has the ball in the middle of the lane. Okay. Next play, Tyler has a layup. Next play, Tyler has a shot, doesn't take it, throws it to Jamal. He drives, has a shot, doesn't take it, throws it to Isaiah. You both have to shoot the ball. Isaiah misses. Well, you just lost the game on those plays. But again, defensively, you know, I mean, they shot 43. It's not like they shot 55% or anything like that. But, you know, they made the fouls, and give them credit. Vanderbilt played well. But just think of this. Jamal carried us and tried the whole game. And that was it. And then we had a chance to win. That's why I'm not like crazy right now.
Don't throw the ball to Isaiah Briscoe. What are you doing? You lost the game.
UK shot 55% in the first half, 27% in the second half.
Kept jacking up threes. Tyler just kept throwing them up.
6 of 22 from three. All of them from Jamal Murray.
Yes.
He went 6 of 10 from three. You know, he mentioned Ulis had a dud. Yes, Ulis had a dud.
He made missed shots that he always makes.
5 of 20.
Yeah. And those floaters that go in all the time, the layups? I mean, missed some lay-ins.
0 for 7 from
3. It's not on
three.
Tyler.
No.
To me. You know, he's...
No.
At some point, you've got to get
him. I mean, he still had 6 assists and one turnover.
Yeah.
I mean, 6-1 assist to the turnover ratio. So, but 5 for 20 field goal, 0 for 7, 3. If Ulis does that, I'm not saying it's Ulis' fault, but if he does that, it's hard for this team to win.
Yes.
And Calipari, to his point, was, and we still had a chance.
Yeah.
I need something from you guys inside. Something. That's all he needs is just, look, you get 4 points, you get 4 points, you get 4 points. Can you take 3 shots each? Maybe 4. Can you make 60%, 55% of your free throws? Can each of you get 4 rebounds? Just all of you, just do a little bit. You do not have to be the star MVP of the game, but you can't be a zero.
And you can't make it to where Tyler cannot throw you the ball because it's a black hole that it goes to.
Right.
So now the offense has zero flow to it because it's just two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they I don't know.
And
listen, Vandy's a decent team, and if you listen to any analysts or other coaches out there, like they're having a tough time figuring out why Vandy's record is not better.
Right. Because, like we were talking yesterday on the show.
Yeah. Because they have good players.
Yeah, you look at that team, it's a good team.
Yeah.
It should be able to beat teams like Kentucky and be one of the better teams in the SEC. Maybe they're figuring out because they're hot right now. They're on a roll right now. All right, let's get to the phones. 381-1313 is the number to call. Dale is on the line. Dale, welcome to the Dana Mary Joe Show.
Good morning, Dale.
Hey, how y'all doing? Hey.
We're good.
Hey, listen, I want to know something. Last year's team and this year's team. How many people went to the pros off last year's team?
7.
7. Ain't that amazing? And look, we're in the NCAA tournament again this year.
Yeah.
I think they're playing super. I'm sitting here watching the best point guard in the country play for the University of Kentucky. And all people's got to do is complain about something. That, you know, I'm happy with the team. I'm enjoying this team. You know, I get to work for 2 Kentucky boys.
You just brightened my day.
Yeah, you got a good look on it.
Listen, we are watching maybe one of the best point guards to ever play at UK.
Correct. It's just here it is.
Ever.
It comes down to this.
Why can't you enjoy the game?
Because you have to be watching a team that can win the national championship. And if at any point you see the team that can't win the national championship, you're upset. That's how it is with Kentucky. It's just how it is.
Well, but yeah, I mean, we're watching the best freshman score.
He should have watched Rutz last year, Joe B. Hall's first year, Eddie Sutton. Oh, God, I don't even want to talk about him. I mean, it's going to go on and on.
But, Dale, we are watching the best scoring freshman ever at UK, right?
Jamal Murray's 21 first-half points, most by a Wildcat under John Calipari ever. 33 points, 9 rebounds. That's his third 30-point game. 8 straight games with at least 20 points. Longest streak since Jody Meeks had 9 in a row, 2008-09. Murray's 14th 20-point game ties Brandon Knight for the UK freshman record. 91 threes breaks Brandon Knight's freshman record for most threes in a season.
So we got a couple good ones we can watch, right?
But I even like watching Scal. I mean, he's improving. He's only an 18-year-old kid.
Yes.
Did not really play fundamental basketball until he got to the University of Kentucky. Everybody's
and that's a tough place to start.
Hey, yeah. I can't wait till next year to watch how much he's improved from this year till next year.
Well, don't talk to Steve. Yeah. He's mad and wants Scal off the team. He didn't even want him to come back. Kick him out of the university.
Now that I got that off my chest about, you know, how good I think the team is.
Yeah.
But what about the horse racing yesterday, the Fountain of Youth?
Mo Heyman was pretty spectacular. Dominated the field and definitely looked like the best three-year-old in the country.
Right now, I think so. I mean, you know, that's what I'm hinting on. Sitting here waiting on the big Derby fan.
Right.
And, of course, I'm basketball. I'm more of a football fan than I am anything. But
you sound like me, Dale. That's exactly me. I am a football fan more than anything, but I like horse racing and basketball, too.
That's right. And I thought that horse looked super yesterday. And I appreciate being able to talk to you, too, and go Big Blue.
All right.
Hey,
thank you so much, Dale.
Yeah, I guess between him and Nyquist would probably be the top two right now, but Miami definitely.
And the Florida Derby is the next one there at Gulfstream Park. In about a month, I guess, Nyquist is headed there.
And we're going to talk to Matt May from Keeneland coming up in our next hour.
At 10 o'clock.
And we'll get into all things horse racing.
But Nyquist and Mohamen are expected to have a showdown in the Florida Derby. Now, we'll see if that still happens. I mean, both connections are saying that's where we're headed. But, you know, a lot of times they don't like the number one and number two three-year-olds in the country going head-to-head before the Derby is not necessarily what always happens. You might, you know, Nyquist might go, let's go over here, Louisiana Derby, or let's go to this race instead. But that'll be exciting. Mohamen Kieran McLaughlin, great story in the Courier-Journal on him because he has MS, multiple sclerosis, that he has battled for many years.
Lexington native.
Yeah, he's taken like daily injections, and it hasn't stopped him at all. And now he has a horse ready for the Dubai World Cup in contention there for that race to, you know, possible contender to win it, and now a Derby contender. Now, he's won the Dubai World Cup.
I was going to say, I thought he'd won Dubai before.
He did. Finally got one of those. Which is huge for Sheikh Mohammed because he trains for Sheikh Mohammed and Sheikh Hamdan. I don't know. But he trains for both of those guys. And
if you're listening, Sheikh, go ahead and give us a call and let us know the pronunciation.
Go to radio station. Take out announcer. But he lived over there in Dubai for like 10 years training. And so that's a big one to get, and now he has never won the Kentucky Derby, and he's got the one. Keeneland sales topper, like you said, Matt May from Keeneland will be on here at 10 o'clock. We'll talk about all this stuff. But we got to take a break, and we're taking your calls, 381-1313, here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this. On ESPN Sports Radio 1300, the NFL, the NBA, NCAA football and basketball, Major League Baseball, and the PGA. We are Central Kentucky's leader for sports. ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Come experience one of Lexington's hottest spots, the Tulip Bistro and Bar. Located in the heart of Chevy Chase, you can enjoy their lighter fare menus such as Tulip Tacos or their decadent gourmet cheeseburgers, voted one of Lexington's best. For a more formal dining experience, enjoy the Tulip's delicious entrees like seared red snapper cassoulet, or treat yourself to the best short ribs you'll ever eat. And don't forget to try one of their great steaks. You'll also find fresh oysters and other sophisticated creations by Chef Spencer. Come enjoy their great wine list and outstanding service. The Tulip Bistro and Bar is now open Monday, so you can dine with them Monday through Saturday for dinner. Go to their website, thetulipbistroandbar.com, and make a reservation. Or call them at 859-367-6687. That's 859-367-6687. The Tulip, 335 Romney Road, in the heart of Chevy Chase. Let the Tulip Bistro and Bar be your next great dining experience.
Icky, gross. There they are. There they are.
At Truly Nolan Pest Control, we know how you feel.
Is it crawling on me?
Pests have no place in your home.
It's not. But I think it is. Ooh, how disgusting, how dirty.
Insects and rodents are dirty. They can spread germs, even disease, throughout your household and to everyone that lives there.
Honey, we gotta move.
At Truly Nolan Pest Control, we're local, and we're owned and operated by an experienced PhD entomologist. We understand these pests and the way they behave. We also know how to get rid of them so they won't come back.
I don't know how they do it. They gotta deal with those icky bugs all day.
Take your first step to a pest-free home now. Visit TrulyNolan.com, then call us at 859-277-0716, 277-0716. We do a complete inspection of your home, then develop a customized solution to get rid of those unwelcome pests and make sure they don't come back. Get truly protected with Truly Nolan. We don't rest till you're rid of the last pest.
Hi, I'm Judith Light. For people 65 and older, the flu can be life-threatening. Visit the National Council on Aging and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about a flu vaccine option for people 65 and older. That's ncoa.org/flu. Again, that's ncoa.org/flu.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Just got to play better. We got to be the best version of ourselves, which at times we've been and we weren't today. And what disappoints me is this was the kind of game. This is like an NCAA tournament game. And it was like some guys didn't ring the bell. Now you become a little worried. Can they ring the bell? Because this was an NCAA tournament type game. Now, you could say it was on the road. We had a lot of fans here. So this became like an NCAA tournament game. We had half the fans. They had half the fans. Guys didn't ring the bell. So I don't know why. You know, I'm not giving up on anybody. We're going to keep coaching. I told them. We coach you every day. We coach you in every shoot around. We're going to continue to coach you. But at the end of the day, you got to do this. And you got to want to do it. And you can't be afraid to do it. You want to be in the fray. I want to be the guy. I'm not afraid to miss the shot. I'm not going to try to shoot it, because if I shoot it and get fouled, I got to go to the line and make free throws. So I'm not going to shoot it, which means then your front line doesn't have any shots. Why didn't they shoot more? No, I'm not driving it and getting fouled. I mean, that's. We got a little bit of that rolling right now, but we'll be fine.
And that might be the worrisome thing right there. That's cause for concern for Calipari. That's part of the reason that I have a different outlook than maybe I had before on the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and it's February 28th, so the we'll be fine thing, I'm just not fine with that right now.
And, you know, someone called and said something about Willis. You know, Kentucky could have used Willis. Well, yes, they could have. But when Calipari was asked about it, he pointed out, look, Willis made one jump shot that last time against Vanderbilt. He was not a factor. That's not my opinion. That is Calipari, the head coach, saying that about Willis. So it's not so much that. But it is the fight. The fight got outfought, did not get what he needed to get from several players. And they ring the bell. Can you ring the bell? I mean, can you turn it on or off? Mm-hmm. This would be the time to turn it on and never turn it off again. But it's still going on and off. It's like a flickering light. You just get a little bit, and then it goes back off again. And Calipari was right. That was an NCAA tournament environment with huge Kentucky crowd. So every time Kentucky made a basket, you know, there were great cheers for Kentucky, but there were still cheers for the home team. But it was fairly even, and that's the way it is at an NCAA tournament.
So let me ask you this, speaking of the NCAA tournament, what is your best guess at seeding? And what are the scenarios? Like if they win their last two games, if they, you know, split.
Yeah.
And then depending on what they do in the SEC tournament. Which I think the seed will be pretty much set unless they lose that first game.
I think they're still looking at a 4 right now, even after the loss.
And that's, I guess, just because everyone else keeps losing, too.
You know, what does Joe Lenardi say?
I looked.
What did he say?
His last update, he updated, like, just the number ones after the game last night. Okay. But he had us as a 4 prior to the game,
right.
The top four.
Right. Yeah, I think Kentucky's still a four. Let's say you look, they're not losing to LSU. Bet the farm. I don't know what the spread will be, but I'm telling you, they're not losing to LSU. We all know that. It's not going to happen.
It'll be at Rupp.
It's at Rupp Arena. Not happening. Now, at Florida, Florida nearly beat LSU down there last night. Possibly, if the same scenario plays out, if Ulis has a bad game, I just don't see that happening again. Is Ulis going to have another bad game? No.
No, but the Bigs could have another bad game.
But if Ulis has a good game and Murray goes for 30 and Willis is back, we don't know if Willis is going to be back, though.
Yeah.
Not sure on that. That's tough. I mean, that's tough. I would think they would bounce back against Florida. Of course, Florida really needs to. If Florida can beat Kentucky, it can make a case for the NCAA tournament. If it doesn't beat Kentucky, it doesn't have much of a case for the NCAA tournament. So it's tough. I would think if Kentucky loses to Florida, then let's say loses in the Saturday semifinals of the SEC tournament, then maybe it's not a four anymore. Maybe it's...
But you think five is probably as low as they would go?
You would think so. Yeah. I mean, they would just have to come completely apart or have a horrible, you know, injury.
And this is one of those years, too, where it's just like...
Yeah, there's so many other teams that you can say...
That have a bunch of blemishes.
Yeah. Yep.
So... That's also a good thing for Kentucky this year.
Let's get to the phones. Who do we have on the line there? Josh? John. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Fine job, as usual.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Josh, by the way, of course, says, all right, what you called to talk about? And I had a coughing fit. Josh, wait a minute. And he said, I don't think that's really going to interest anyone besides maybe your family.
And probably not even them.
Well, bingo. You know me, MJ. That's true. I don't really care very much.
You know, John Calipari had a coughing fit Friday as he started his press conference talking to everyone. And then the whole demeanor that he had the whole time. And he wound up saying, you know, it'll be tough for us to win the SEC. And he's saying this as Kentucky has a one-game lead with three to play. And you got the feeling after he says that and then watching him all the way through, I thought, well, maybe he's sick. No, he's just in a bad mood because he thinks he's going to lose at Vanderbilt. I don't know. That's what it felt like.
Well, I think it's more likely the coughing fit caused the loss, don't you? I think what Cal does, God bless
I nearly spit out my coffee, John. I was taking a drink as you said that.
I try to guarantee at least one spit take in an episode. But I think he puts... Gal at point, Tyler Ulis at center. And if that doesn't work out, he clones Tyler Ulis, gets four more of them ready by tournament time. They might be a little small, but, you know, the first one isn't too big either. And that's your team.
Four Ulises and a Murray? Or just all Ulis?
Oh, I meant Ulis. Well, you know what? How about a couple of Murrays, too? That would be good.
If you could get...
I need to have a coughing fit.
Yeah, if we had two more Murrays yesterday, we'd top 100 points.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they're going to be fine. I don't think we're going to see them go all the way this year. But you know what? I think life will probably continue, you know, coughing fits and all.
In some areas.
Well, we'll keep up the great work, guys. And thanks for the check for my last appearance. I spent it so quickly, it's almost as if the gumball machine didn't give me anything.
Thanks as always, John. Thank you very much.
Go Cats. Talk to you later.
John McGarry, a friend of the show, with one of the most quick-witted guys we know.
Yeah,
without a doubt. Yes, I like I said my point a moment ago with our guy Dale, who's like, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah,
enjoy it. And the Calipari always says, enjoy the ride. But again, when there's a game and you go, that team can't win the national championship. There are a lot of upset people.
And there's certainly precedence has been set the other direction, too, because that Julius Randle season, everybody thought this is not a team that can win the national championship.
Right.
And, of course, they didn't, but they made it to the championship game, and there you go. I don't know that this group has it in them to string together enough. Like you said, it's got to be, you got to have six games.
Yeah.
You got to have six games to win.
If and this team gets
they
to
can a, put two or three together, I just don't know if that fourth one can come there.
If this team wins this, gets out of the first weekend, I think a lot of people will be
I'll be happy about that.
And be enjoying it because you have the expectation of they could lose that second game. It was like 2014. Every game, you're like, oh, my gosh, they pulled it off. Can't believe it. You know, that.
Yeah.
Last year, the expectation was so high, it was almost unenjoyable because of the way it came down. You know, ooh, can't lose. Can't lose.
Yes, yeah.
38, stomach, no, can't
stomach
lose.
And now knots.
Now you're in the Final Four and they haven't lost a game yet. Oh, my gosh. And it's Wisconsin. Oh, no.
I know.
And that was the feeling. It was hard to enjoy, even though they were winning every game, because it was, oh, they can't lose. Oh, you can't lose.
I know.
No. And now.
Dude, we should have lost earlier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we should have lost that game. We wouldn't be so uptight.
Georgia would have beaten us.
It's a burden. And now it's one of those carefree things in the tournament, because now you think, well, then it can't get anything from the Bigs. It's Scal's fault. Scal. It's Scal's fault. If we wouldn't have gotten Scal, we'd have made it to the tournament. If he wouldn't have recruited Scal, Dakari Johnson's mom wouldn't have told him to go to the NBA.
That was another thing that I did not realize in reading that article that Kyle Tucker had written. So Dakari didn't get any guaranteed money, you know, out of...
No, he opted. He could have signed with Oklahoma City Thunder as a free agent and opted not to sign with the team in order to go to the D-League and get a chance to develop. Because if he signs with a pro team and they think enough of him to keep him on the bench, that's where he'll stay and he won't develop. And okay. Kyle did a good job in his article of contrasting Marcus Teague's situation, where he was drafted, did sign with the team, got guaranteed money, and rode the bench for 2 years in the NBA and did not get a chance to develop. And so now Marcus Teague is on the same team with Dakari Johnson and is developing and averaging, I don't know, like 15 points and 6 assists a game. And Teague is playing well, doing well, and just trying to get another shot where he could get some playing time. So that was kind of the whole decision in it is, if you're on an NBA team but you're not good enough to play, then you don't develop. And then you know, you don't have a long career.
I think in our minds and kind of everything that, you know, we had been told about the situation, you know, it was a financial decision for Dakari.
Mm-hmm.
At some level, right?
Well, that he thought that he could go in the first round.
Yes. And then,
but he didn't. And when you don't go in the first round, you don't get 2 years of guaranteed money. Like Marcus Teague made over $1 million.
And the maximum, which I wasn't aware, the maximum a D-League player makes is $25,000 a year. That's not.
Isn't it funny? Think about it this way. If you want to think about it politically, D-League players would vote for Bernie Sanders. NBA players would vote for Donald Trump.
And the thing is it's just so hard to go out there and find success stories of guys that have really improved themselves in the D-League and then gone up to make it, because the NBA is so focused on the draft. They'll just take the next guy and see if he works out or doesn't. I just don't know how much progressing in the D-League really has helped anybody to get to that level.
Well, you've seen DeAndre Liggins struggle with it for years.
Is it not better to go to Europe?
It is. You make more money.
You make way more money to go over there.
In Europe. But you give up that NBA dream a little bit. They don't go looking to Europe for players who they passed on already.
True.
They go looking to Europe for the young ones that they haven't passed on yet. But, hey, we passed on DeAndre Liggins. So we're not going to come back to him if he goes to Europe. So DeAndre's in the D-League trying to make it and get their attention. And he's played well in the D-League. He's played well in the Summer League NBA. And he has been in there since, what, 5 years, 6 years? Yeah. And he's not stuck with an NBA team yet.
I just don't know that I think the NBA really looks to the D-League any more than they look to Europe or anywhere else.
Well, I think they use the D-League to support their roster moves, to support their injuries. And
yes, okay, yeah.
So you bring it up like you know, Cincinnati needs a starting pitcher for, you know, Tuesday. Like, go to Louisville or go to Double-A club and bring the guy up. I think that's the D-League's role, more so than developing the next NBA star. But I don't know of any examples because I don't follow it so closely that I would know of some examples. But I definitely agree with the point that had Dakari Johnson stayed, and even if he's not averaging 20 points and 10 rebounds, let's just say he's 12 points, 7 rebounds, 8 rebounds. Not a superstar, but playing really well, solid, consistent. I think he has a better chance of making it in the NBA than he does by going to the D-League. Like, his prospects would be so much better, I think.
And this year's not loaded with great big men.
Right.
Which is evidenced by the fact that still, Scal is projected as the 14th overall pick.
Yeah. But, you know, Dakari Johnson has been said to be playing really well. Really well. So, hope good things for him.
It's tough to get the sentiment sometimes or how things are said from the written word.
Mm-hmm.
To me, there was a little, like, I felt like I heard a tinge of regret.
Yes.
Like, I can't look back now because it was the choice I made and I'm here in this situation. So it doesn't do me any good to kick myself about it. But it sounded to me, he didn't say this, but it sounded to me a little bit like, if I had it to do all over again, I might have not done it this way.
What's one more year of luxuriance?
Yeah, and he definitely said life, he was treated much better here than he is where he's at.
That's
now.
The thing. I mean, I understand that you're a young guy and your eyes are big and you are eyeballing that thing and you don't want to hear any of that. I know it's, you know, grown up time. I know it's real world, the fun's over, whatever, I can handle it, I'm ready. And then you get there and you realize the grind of what making $25,000 a year is like in the real world, what not having airplane rides to your games and nice hotels
and all
good
your
meals
taken care of,
and yes, and people loving you and knowing you everywhere you go, and you're just so supported, and it's the responsibility is a little bit less. Like, if you want to just, you know, chill and watch TV, you need a bowl of cereal at 11 o'clock on a Wednesday, you know, whatever. That college life is gone, and then it hits you, and you're like, ugh, man, I need to get to the NBA quickly.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more fun, too. I mean, you're playing 2 games a week in college. NBA, you're playing, feels like 3 games a week, and then you're all over the place. You're jumping all over the place. It's grown up. It's the difference. Look, I stayed way too long in college, but I'm happy about it, you know? Because once you leave.
Yeesh.
Exactly. All right, we need to take a break because Josh is going to hurt his hands if we don't. 381-1313 is the number to call here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You gotta be a thug for it. This ain't what she meant.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Why did we call our new checking account the Republic Bank Easy Checking Account? That's an easy one. You never have to keep a minimum balance or pay a monthly fee. You also get free bill pay and free mobile and online banking. We told you this was easy. Get the Republic Easy Checking Account today. Visit RepublicBank.com or your nearest Republic Banking Center. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
If you're a parent like me, I'm sure you have great concerns about what your kids are seeing on the internet. The answer is Circle, the device pit stop in Lexington, has a new breakthrough in cyber device technology. It's Circle with Disney. Circle is a device that connects to your home Wi-Fi. Circle filters content and helps manage time limits. You can customize a dashboard based on age, interest, age-appropriate content, and so much more. Circle is so amazing, it allows you to manage every device in your home with an app on your smartphone. Circle enables you to create balance by seeing your family members' browsing habits by platform, category, and website. Circle and its partnership provides content with Disney Entertainment that parents trust and children love. And best of all, Circle is tamper-proof. Circle, created by families for families. You can see Circle at Device Pit Stop.
Learn more about Circle and all of its features and even give it a test drive at Device Pit Stop. We are located in the Zandell Shopping Center at 2220 Nicholasville Road.
You gotta go to the Pit Stop for sure!
Schwab's Pipes and Stuff. It's where to go when your day's been rough.
We're family-owned since 1977. Come and enjoy our smoking lounge and patio on Southland Drive.
Hey, hey, our cigars are great and our blends are the bomb. It's time for you to get your smoke on. So head on down to a place you're sure to love. Talking about Schwab's Pipes and Stuff.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It tastes quite bad, but it is good for you.
On to the show!
Because you love sports just as much as we do.
I do not disagree.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So just a moment ago, we were talking about Dakari Johnson, how much he would have helped, and we've spoken about Alex Poitras. He's a one or a zero. He's binary code, yeah. One or zero. And Marcus Lee didn't play badly. He fouled a lot. He didn't play great, but he wasn't a zero.
No, but you almost need a combination of the bigs.
Right, exactly. Here is what John Calipari said. He was asked, what is the minimum you need to get from the bigs?
Anything right now. Just give us something. Give us a couple blocks. Give us a couple baskets. And they're capable. I mean, Scow struggled. Isaac struggled. They all struggled. I mean, let me just say this. Their front court players were better than ours today. Now, they weren't when they played us in Lexington. So you tell me, I wish I had the answer. I don't. Our bigs were better than their bigs at our place. Their bigs were better than ours here and took it right at us, and we did not fight back. It's just what happened. I mean, now we move on to the next game. We've got another tough road game.
Now, something that was very telling to me and a positive, huge positive for this team, is Jamal Murray was asked, what was Calipari most frustrated about? This was asked to Jamal Murray. Play that.
He's fine.
No, that's not it. Nah, wrong one. That's it.
Big's not contributing. What's that? Big's not contributing. That's something where we can't be in and out of games like that. We can't have foul trouble. We can't totally zone out the first half, and that's something we did today. And for us to be successful, we have to be on point big-wise the whole game.
Why do you think today was one of those days where it wasn't happening?
I mean, honestly, I have no idea why it was that way, but we honestly shouldn't have it, especially for me and Alex. We're vets, so it falls on our shoulders to set an example and to lead like that, and we weren't there today.
We weren't on point. To go off his point, we weren't sharp. Coming into the game, coming to shoot around, guys were just kind of laboring and stuff. We looked fatigued, but that should be no issue. But it looked like an issue today.
There's a whole lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
The one I wanted to point out, what I was trying to say there was, Jamal Murray was asked what frustrates you or what Cal is frustrated the most about, and he was hesitant, and I don't think he was going to blame it on the bigs. And Marcus, his teammate, stepped in and said, you don't have to answer, Jamal. I'll tell you. I'll take the heat. I'll do that. And then Jamal comes back with, we weren't even ready at shoot around. And then the one that Josh started to play that we didn't want him to play right there, it was Marcus was asked about, how do you fix it? How do you keep from doing this? Because, you know, Marcus explained why they weren't playing today. He didn't know. And, well, what's the solution? And Jamal was like, don't worry about Marcus. You guys don't worry about Marcus. Marcus is fine. He brings energy. He does a great job. So Murray is sticking up
for Marcus. I do think this locker room is tight.
Yes. There's a chemistry there. They know they have each other's backs. And that's definitely going to help moving forward. Coming up next, Matt May from Keeneland. We'll talk horse racing and more UK basketball here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It's the Four Wheels More Deals Winter Sales event going on now at MLS Power Sports, and you have choices. Get a new 2015 Wildcat as low as $189 a month for 60 months, or receive a rebate up to $1,100 depending on model. Or how about a factory warranty for up to 4 years? The fun is up to you during the Four Wheels More Deals Winter Sales event at MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Stop in today and don't miss the best deals on the entire lineup of Arctic Cats, ATVs, and side-by-sides.
Only ride an ATV that's right for your age. Supervised riders younger than 16. Each rider must wear a seatbelt on ROVs, approved helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing. We recommend that all ROV operators have a valid driver's license and all riders take a training course. Read and understand the owner's manual before operation. For safety or training information, see your dealer. Arctic Cat, share our passion.
Ride victoriously. Ride rough. Ride tough. MLS Power Sports. Got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
I'm here with Wes Lancaster of Bluegrass Auto Body. You've worked on my cars twice, the best work I've ever had done.
Well, I appreciate that, Matthew. Your story isn't uncommon. Usually when we work on someone's car the first time, they will come back when they need us. Being in business for 50 years will help build a good reputation.
I can't speak highly enough about Bluegrass Auto Body. You can either go to the location at High Street or on Rusio Way. Either way, it'll be the best work you've ever had done. If someone runs into you, you run into Bluegrass Auto Body.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you. And the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
I'm Julie Bowen, and I'm here to tell you it's impossible to beat cancer alone. It takes researchers, doctors, donors. It takes community. It takes love and support and collaboration and persistence and resolve. It takes people like me and you. That's why Stand Up to Cancer and all our supporters are asking for your help. Let's beat cancer together. Join the movement now at standuptocancer.org.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman to save money.
We need a new stuntman.
You just need feedthepig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLHG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Yet another Are You Kidding Me moment from reigning NBA MVP Steph Curry in the Warriors Western Conference Showdown against the Thunder.
Here he comes down the left side, pull-up jumper, leaning to his left, a hard banker's off, rebound tip, controlled by Iguodala with six. They have a timeout there across midcourt with three. Curry, a deep three, got it! Steph Curry about 35 feet from the hole, buries a three with 0.6 seconds left.
Kevin Calabro on ESPN Radio with the call. That was Curry's 12th three of the night, tied an NBA single-game record. He had 46 points, his third consecutive 40-point game. Golden State won at 121-118, is the first team to clinch a playoff spot in February since the 1987-88 Lakers. Spurs 104, Rockets 94. San Antonio extended its own NBA record with a 17th consecutive 50-win season. Tim Duncan became the fifth player in league history to reach 3,000 blocks, also passed Karl Malone for sixth all-time in rebounds. Trailblazers 103, Bulls 95, 30 points for Damian Lillard. Suns topped the Grizzlies 111-106 and snapped a 13-game skid. In the NHL's warmest regular season outdoor game, the Red Wings defeated the Avalanche 5-3 at Coors Field, opening puck drop 65 degrees. Baseball, Rangers agreed to terms on a one-year deal with free agent Ian Desmond. He's expected to primarily play left field. NFL, Broncos say quarterback Peyton Manning has not yet made a decision if he'll retire and plans to continue talks with the team about his future in this coming week. Golf, Adam Scott, Sergio Garcia tied atop the leaderboard at the Honda Classic.
The 2016 class of free agent quarterbacks is deep and fascinating. And NFL's free agency period is quickly approaching. Who's heading where? Find out Monday morning on Mike and Mike, 6 Eastern, on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
The following is an advertisement. When we built ForThePeople.com, it was designed to be your consumer website, a place to go to learn about your legal rights. It was also built to protect you before an accident occurs. One of the most helpful parts of our site is warnings about unsafe drugs, products, and medical devices. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Right now, we're investigating, and in some cases, actually litigating cases involving some of these drugs you may be currently taking or have taken in the past, and likewise, certain medical devices. I invite you to visit ForThePeople.com now and from time to time to educate yourself and hopefully protect you and your family. This site was built for you, the consumer. And remember this, I'm not just a lawyer, I'm your lawyer. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Offices Lexington. This message has been an advertisement.
I couldn't get work opportunities without a high school diploma.
And I said, it's time for me to go back to school, get my GED, and further my education.
It was a feeling that I cannot explain. Once I received that GED, I decided to keep going to college and do something.
My son and I, we are stable. I pay the bills. I'm able to do all that because I got my GED.
For a limited time, the GED test is 50% off for Kentuckians. Find out more by contacting your Kentucky Adult Education Program today. And sponsored by Kentucky Adult Education.
Brothers Auto Sales is Central Kentucky's number one dealer of pre-owned vehicles. At Brothers Auto Sales, you'll find the most complete selection of quality pre-owned cars and trucks available today. Every vehicle comes with a Carfax report documenting every aspect of the vehicle's history. Plus, we have an A-plus rating from the BBB. Brothers Auto Sales is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. for sales. Their top-notch service department is there Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5. Brothers Auto Sales, 285 East New Circle at the corner of Bryan Station Road or on the web at brothersautosales.com. No gimmicks, no games, no high pressure. Just the best prices on quality pre-owned vehicles in Central Kentucky, period. Brothers Auto Sales.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
Mary Joe, I brought this up a week or so ago. We haven't revisited this, and I brought it up off air. But you know, this intro music, obviously it's from the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan, all that stuff,
yes,
which is great. But I have heard it twice now at high school girls basketball games, introducing them. And I just wonder, you know, nothing against high school girls basketball teams. I go to those games and they're great. But I'm just not sure it has the same grandeur that we require on this show.
Yeah, because we would kind of put ourselves in those, you know, 90s Bulls teams,
right,
air. Like, that's the air we,
yes,
breathe.
We need to find out what the Warriors come out to. What Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors.
And what did he eat for breakfast? Oh, my. I just can't.
He is in. Someone put it best. I can't remember who the analyst was on ESPN, but he said, it was a former player, and he said, Steph Curry takes shots that other players, the coach would be losing his mind and take him out of the game. But he makes most of them, so it doesn't matter. And then so many people are knocking the old school guard, knocking him for not just
ESPN,
like,
has spent this week saying how Steph Curry wouldn't be good in the 90s.
Right. And then
that was the discussion.
He's not as good as the other players. And then, yeah, Draymond Green's mama stepped up and said, shut up and enjoy it. As long as I've been watching, Reggie Miller wasn't better than Steph Curry. That's the other shooter I can think of that you would say was crazy good. Hey, let's bring Matt May into this conversation right now. We didn't bring him on to talk about NBA basketball.
But if you're not watching NBA right now, you're missing something.
But we should talk about it with him anyway. Good morning, Matt. Hope you're well.
I'm doing well. How are you all?
We're great, Matt. We've got a bunch of things we want to chat with you about.
Let's start right there with the NBA, though. You've watched NBA growing up. Is Steph Curry the best shooter? Is he the best, you know, where is he in your generation, in your time?
Yeah, I mean, he's right up there, and it's hard to, I mean, we kind of grew up, at least I think you and I and Mary Jo were all kind of in that same era where we grew up in a glory, you know, golden age, so to speak, of Jordan and Bird and Magic and Isaiah. You know, the list goes on and on of guys. I mean, I remember the Jordan versus Bird video games that had all the one-on-one, you know, games that you were playing. So
Barkley, you know, and Ewing and Hakeem. And
absolutely, yeah. It's hard. I don't remember, you know, even though I watched it, I don't really remember specifics of individuals. But Steph Curry, absolutely. I mean, if he's not the best that we've seen in a long time, he's certainly right up there.
He's become must-see TV for me.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's 82 games, and you almost want to watch all the Warriors games just to see what he does.
Well, and it's kind of been that way for me since his run in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
when they went to the Elite Eight, and you know, here's Davidson and this kid who's, you know, at the time was all of 150 pounds or whatever he was. I mean, that's what he looked like out there amongst the trees. You know, who's leading this little tiny school who had had some history of being a good program, but not on that kind of a stage. And here he is, you know, taking him through the Elite Eight. And if I remember correctly, LeBron James is sitting courtside just to watch him play. You know, he's a phenomenon, and it helps, you know, his bloodlines are obviously incredible as well. And his brother was a terrific player in his own right.
And he plays for the Kings right now. He plays on the Sacramento Kings and doesn't ride the bench. He plays.
Yeah, and I think people almost forget about that. I mean, this is not like, you know, this kid who came out of nowhere. You know, he does have the bloodlines and grew up around the game. But, you know, what he does, you know, the entertainment value, everybody loves a shooter. Yeah, dunking is fun and all that. But, you know, there's only so much dunking you can see. I mean, for me, it's always been I've enjoyed watching you know, great shooters more than anything. I can remember when I was covering UK, you know, the games I remember the most were the Tayshaun Prince, you know, 5-3 blown up from basically midcourt against North Carolina, the Jody Meeks 54-point game in Tennessee, where everything he threw up went in. And a few weeks later, if you remember, he did the same thing against Arkansas. I think he scored 40-something. I don't remember the
46.
Exact number.
Yeah, 46.
But had a huge three-point shooting game. And those are the games, at least for me, as a basketball fan, I enjoyed watching shooters far more than dunkers. That's probably because I have about a 3-inch vertical and was never going to dunk at all.
He also is such a great ball handler, though, that he can take you off the dribble at any point and get to the rim. So
that's the great thing about, I mean, sports is little guys. Like, Steph Curry's not a big guy, but he works hard enough. Like Allen Iverson, I loved watching Iverson play because of his ball handling skills. And when you would watch him, I got to see him in person. He takes a beating because of his size and where he goes in with the ball, and gets back up every single time and could hit. And so Steph Curry reminds me of Iverson in that way, in that size doesn't dictate what he's able to do. Tyler Ulis could have that kind of.
I think in sports, in general, we like the anomaly and we like the underdog.
Yes.
And Steph Curry is both of those things. I mean, he's probably the most obvious example of both of those things, because he's not, as you mentioned, you know, he's not the 6'8", 240 pounds, you know, just chiseled out of stone, you know, professional basketball player that we kind of come to, you know, to expect, you know. And, you know, he's not LeBron James. He's not built like him. He's not built like Russell Westbrook or Kevin Durant and those guys. So he's different, you know, and you look at him and you go, and he's taking this franchise that, you know, I guess had some history way back when, but really,
irrelevant.
For most of what I can remember is
Chris Mullin.
Exactly. So, you know, here we are, and all of a sudden they're the best, they're the it brand, and people gravitate towards that. I don't think there's any question.
All right, Matt May from Keeneland, talking NBA basketball with us. But we really wanted to chat with you.
Are you going to go horse racing?
I'm going to go horse racing.
Well, let's hold off just a second while we got him on the basketball thing.
Okay.
because I want to transition right into Jamal Murray, because he's talking about shooters and
okay.
Your impressions, Matt. And remember, guys, Matt May wrote for the Cat's Paws for many years, meaning he went to every game, not just the ones at Rupp Arena, every game, which just entrenches you in the team, and you see a lot of things.
And do you miss that, too?
And Matt? A lot of players.
I logged a lot of miles over the years.
Yes.
A lot of hotel nights and a lot of miles. There's no question about that.
Jamal Murray, in your mind, compared to all the guys you watch play at UK?
Wow. Man, that goes back to, you know, as I mentioned, that goes back even when I was at the University of Kentucky and wrote for the Kentucky Colonel, the student paper.
Yeah.
You know, I go back to date myself. The first year that I covered the team kind of in full was 98-99. So, you know, that goes all the way back to the team that lost to Michigan State in St. Louis in the Elite Eight with Scott Padgett and Wayne Turner and Hishimu Evans and those guys. So, you know, Tayshaun Prince, Keith Bogans, there's been a lot of them, Rondo. I mean, a lot of really, you know, quality players that came through. You know, what's been interesting about Jamal Murray to me is just how much he has improved throughout the year. You know, obviously he was talented and you could see that very, very early on. But what I think has been interesting to watch is, you know, he's kind of found his niche. You know, some of those guys who are that talented but don't really know how they fit necessarily early on never really figure that out. And I don't know, I mean, there's probably a million reasons for that basketball, you know, insiders, coaches can tell you way better than I can. But you've seen a lot of talented guys that just don't seem to grasp it. And really don't improve all that much. Not just Kentucky. I mean, everywhere you see that. I think it's been interesting to watch how much more comfortable he looks and how much more in tune with his game, how he fits within the bigger complexion of what they're trying to do, how he plays off of Tyler Ulis and vice versa, and really has found you know, areas that he can excel in. I mean, the shot. And it was early on when guys get in a zone, you can pretty much throw it up from anywhere. It's like the old double dribble basketball game, you know, video game where, you know, he's getting hot or NBA Jam and all of a sudden the rim is, you know, everything's going in, he's catching fire. But the one that he came off, and I guess if you're looking at the screen, he would have been on the right-hand side, comes off a screen and comes around and his feet, I mean, he turns his body while he's in midair. He catches it.
He was not set. Like, yeah.
No, and it goes in, and it was as pure as can be. And
it's like jumping out of a car at 55 miles per hour and trying to get the shot off is what it felt like, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, when you see that, I mean, there are very few guys who can do that consistently. Yeah, guys can throw it in, you know, occasionally. But he reminds me a little bit of Brandon Knight in that Brandon, you know, early on was very good but was trying to figure it out. And as the year went on, I think Cal and his staff figured out what Brandon Knight did well. And you saw as they went later in the year, they played that pick and roll with Josh Harrelson, and it was so deadly. But Brandon had that mid-range game. He had that free throw line extended jumper, pull-up jumper, but he could also hit threes, and that opened up so many other things. And Jamal reminds me a little bit of that, where you can see the intellect, you know, the basketball intellect and his ability to score in a variety of ways. Some guys can only shoot. Some guys can only go to the rim. You know, some guys have the ability to do a lot of different things. And I think that's what's really impressive about him and maybe sets him apart with a few other guys, you know, that I've seen at Kentucky over the years.
Absolutely. Well said.
And I do like the bow and arrow. Probably would be much better if, like, we had won yesterday, but I did like that.
Can I tell the story you told me, Mary Jo?
Yes.
Can I? Matt, you got to hear this one. So Mary Jo tells me that, you know, both of us have kids who play basketball. And, you know, Little League basketball, I mean, you should just go just to see what happens over there. But so your son,
it's
Sam.
It's chaos, right?
Yes.
So it's the first playoff game.
They all think they're Steph Curry. How about that?
Yeah.
And so first playoff game for Mary Jo's son, Sam, and his team. And he's at the free throw line, right? And he hits the free throw. And what does he do?
Knocks back both free throws. So
two free throws.
After the second free throw, we pulled out the bow and arrow.
In a 9 and 10 year old game, hits a free throw, turns around and gets the bow and arrow, Jamal Murray style.
I used to do that when I'd send my stories in, you know, just pull out the bow and arrow after hitting published
yes,
on the website.
Absolutely. We're talking with Matt May from Keeneland here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And since you're there at Keeneland, maybe we should talk a little bit of horse racing. The meet, number one, is a month away from the Keeneland Spring Meet. Oh, my gosh.
40 days.
40 days.
Looked that up this morning, actually. I knew it was 50 about a week and a half ago, so I looked it up this morning. It doesn't seem possible that we're sitting at almost March 1 here in a couple days. But, yeah, 40 days, and at least when I look outside today, it looks kind of like a spring morning. So
it's supposed to be 60s,
starting to get
yeah.
that sun mm-hmm. and thoroughbreds and everything else. So, you know, it's a great time of year here.
Really, this feels like to me that maybe this is a spring where we avoid a 40-degree cloudy, slight rainy day. I think we might
See,
get that in.
Dan, what are you doing? Come on.
I swear.
Come on, man.
The groundhog said it. I think we're in for a good one. But yesterday down at Gulfstream Park, the Fountain of Youth and Mohamed looked every bit as the undefeated 3-year-old that is going to continue to be the Derby favorite and headed for a showdown with Nyquist, it appears, in the Florida Derby here in a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, he looked incredible, didn't he? I mean, he did it with ease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you're watching races, you know, you can pick things apart. You know, you can – I mean, there's a lot you can do, and a lot of it depends on who you're running against and pace. And, you know, I mean, there's just so many variables in racing. But, you know, as they say, he's beaten everybody that's been put in front of him. You know, he's gone – and he's done it in impressive fashion all the way around. You know, I mean, there's a reason he sold for $2.2 million at the Keeneland's yearling sale. I mean – the bloodlines, everything. This horse has been, at least from early on, you know, people in the industry looked at that horse and said, you know, this horse should be a quality horse. It doesn't always work that way, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. But so far, you know, there's a long way to go. We've got whatever it is, 70 days or 80 days until the Kentucky Derby, and a lot can happen between now and then. We've seen that happen over the years, but man, he looks awfully good. And you know, what's interesting is he looks so good that Nyquist, as you mentioned, they're set for a showdown before the Kentucky Derby. But Nyquist, who was the champion 2-year-old, who's also undefeated, has won 3 Grade 1 stakes and won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Keeneland last fall. It's almost an afterthought, you know,
right.
in some ways. And that's crazy to me that a horse that accomplished at this point has been, you know, almost relegated to second-tier status because of how good Mohamed has looked. And, you know, there's others. You know, Bob Baffert's best option, I guess, or best challenger for this year, Morse Spirit,
mm-hmm.
is a 2-time stakes winner and has been very good to this point. Brody's Cause, who's a Dale Roman's horse, who ran 3rd in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Keeneland, won the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland and is at this point being pointed towards the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes on April 9th, which is our opening weekend. You know, that's a horse that, you know, has a lot of quality to him, and people almost have kind of, you know, and rightfully, understandably so, everybody is kind of caught up on Mohamed and to some degree Nyquist, but there's a lot of quality horses out there, and it's going to be really interesting over the next couple months where this leads. And you know, the road to the Derby is so much fun, and it feels like it gets a lot more maybe people are more have more information these days than maybe they used to in the past. It feels like there's in recent years, people have kind of watched more of the prep races, and there's just so much more out there with the information, you know, on the internet and everywhere else, where people have really kind of maybe changed the way they look at it. So it's a lot of fun. And Mohamed, as you mentioned, was just incredible yesterday again.
And you rarely see the, you know, the prohibitive number one and number two favorites go against each other in a prep race a month before the Derby, which we could see, you know, at Gulfstream Park, which mm-hmm. is kind of crazy to me to think about.
Yeah.
Kieran McLaughlin, I just looked up. He said he hopes they don't run Nyquist there
because
they don't want to run against him just yet.
And it's totally understandable. You're right. You don't see that very often. You know, last year, American Pharoah and Dortmund were 1-2, and of course, you know, there was a little bit where they were both Baffert horses. Obviously, he was going to try to steer them down different paths. But, you know, they were 1-2 and didn't meet until Derby. And, of course, along with Firing Line finished 1-2-3 in the Derby. But Frosted came through New York last year to the Derby trail. And then obviously ran so well both at the Derby and then in future races. But yeah, they typically avoid each other, and that's what makes the Derby, I think, really interesting. Is you see the in other sports, they've most of the teams that reach the biggest stage have either seen each other or played each other. There's just not enough teams to where they can avoid each other most of the time, especially in professional sports. But the Derby, you get to this stage, and I think that's why the Derby is so interesting from a wagering perspective too. You have a chance to get odds on horses that you'll probably never got before and will never get again. When you want to bet on that given horse, then you really are kind of guessing how they'll match up. Yeah, you have information and stats and everything, and numbers and all that at your fingertips that you can make an educated guess, but you really don't know until they get into that gate because they've never run that far, and they never have and never will run against 19 or 18 or 19 other horses again in their life. So it's just such an interesting and different race, and they're so young. I mean, you look at a horse and you think, oh, well, a three-year-old doesn't really, to the layman, doesn't look that different than a four-year-old, a five-year-old, or whatever. But basically, they're teenagers in adult years. So you've got, just like with teenagers in people, you don't really know what they're going to do from one day to the next or one minute to the next. Horses can be the same way, and especially thoroughbreds, which are high-strung as is.
We're talking with Matt May from Keeneland on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And you mentioned wagering. You also mentioned the Bluegrass Stakes and Brody's Cause being pointed that way. Dale Roman's train. There are a few guys, a few people in the industry that I kind of root for just from the Kentucky perspective or the Lexington perspective. Karen McLaughlin is one of them, a Lexington native. The Ramseys, Ken and Sarah Ramsey.
Yes.
Because
they're the nicest people ever.
Right. And Dale Roman's because he'd grown up there next to the racetrack in Louisville. And would like to see those folks win derbies because they've never have. None of those people have won a derby. But I was just throwing that out there, but I wanted to get to this. What's different this year about this derby prep season is that Keeneland doesn't have the simulcasting anymore. It is at the Red Mile. What about like drive-through betting and kind of take us through how you can bet the races through Keeneland leading up to the derby?
Well, on actual Derby Day, the simulcasting will still be at Keeneland. For major events like that, you'll still have the ability to come out and we had over 20,000 people on Derby Day last year. And so that will all remain the same on those big race days, the Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup and all that as you move forward. As you lead up to it on days, let's say like yesterday or next week is the Gotham, Keeneland simulcasting is now year-round at the Red Mile, which has been completely, if you haven't been over there,
pretty nice.
It's not your father's.
No, it doesn't look like the Red Mile at all.
Place.
Yeah.
And so, I encourage if that's what you're interested in, to go out and check it out. The first floor has the instant racing, which, has poured a ton of money into the industry, in the state of Kentucky. There's a variety, or there's a few places to have instant racing and, it pours a lot of money back into it. But then on the second floor area is completely, revamped and redesigned and just completely redone simulcasting area. And it's been good for both, I think. Obviously Red Mile is such a historical facility, probably needed some work. This has allowed, the partnership has allowed that to take place. There's huge TVs everywhere. It's, new paint and new design and all that kind of thing. But also it allows, when we had simulcasting at Keeneland, we have so many other events, and I think, a lot of people know this, but a lot of people don't know that, Keeneland is not just October and April where we have racing and, that's all that goes on. We have three different thoroughbred sales a year. There's tons of events that come through, runs and walks and, companies that hold different events at the track throughout the year and weddings. You name it, and we've got our hands in it. So one of the things that would happen with simulcasting is because of those events throughout the year, it would constantly have to change locations at Keeneland. It would still be at Keeneland, but it would move from the equestrian room to the second floor grandstand to, it would have to change a lot. And we felt like that wasn't giving the type of experience that people expect when they come, to be involved with Keeneland for simulcast better. So what this does is it allows an opportunity for people to know what they're getting in a first-class facility when they simulcast. So that is always open. You can go out there and bet any of those races. And the people, I have a lot of friends that enjoy going to simulcast, watching races, betting races all over the country. And to a man, they've all said, this is a tremendous, this is great. This is a great experience. We really enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
So if you haven't been out there, I suggest going out and at least checking it out.
Yeah, it's nice.
Enjoy the simulcasting.
And new. It's nice and new. Even has that new carpet smell or whatever. It's nice. It's new. It looks good. Nice TVs. It's like a sports bar for horse racing, basically. So, yes. But I did wonder, did you guys still have the drive-through windows? Are those open every day or just on the weekends or what is that?
They are not. No. All the simulcasting is there. Now, like I said, they will be for the bigger events.
Okay.
Beyond the days when we hosted and whatnot, but they are not open on a daily basis.
Okay.
Right now. So that's all been moved to Red Mile, which is, for a lot of people, Red Mile is because it's close to downtown. It's
yeah.
close to, it's inside New Circle Road. A lot of
right.
people, we all know in Lexington, there are some people who just don't like venturing outside of New Circle Road. They stay inside the circle.
Yeah.
So, it affords a lot of people maybe an easier location to get to as well. So there's a lot of benefits to Red Mile over there. And even when you pull up, you almost kind of forget that that's where you are because the outside yeah. of it looks so different,
Right. Yeah, it's very impressive
totally
to look at compared to what was there, yes. Matt, thank you so much.
Thank you, Matt.
We kept you on the phone way longer than we should have, but we really appreciate it.
No problem. Miss you guys, and give us a call anytime.
All right, thanks again.
Matt.
Go out there and see him at Keeneland. I know you will. You cannot
yes.
resist the draw and the urge that is Keeneland in the spring. Steve Jones from the Courier-Journal coming up in mere minutes on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Question, would you seat your 3-year-old child on a windowsill? And would you seat them in a car seat that's not the correct one? Secure their future. Seat them in the correct car seat. More info at safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Whether you need to buy, sell, or repair your device,
you need to visit the Pit Stop.
No brainer. It's a Pit Stop.
You gotta go to the Pit Stop for sure.
Hi, this is Josh, owner of the Device Pit Stop. Come and see us today as our inventory is high and we are loaded with all the hot devices you want, like iPhones starting at $69 and iPads starting at $79. We have the largest variety in laptops in Central Kentucky with all your favorite brands starting as low as $79. And all our sales are backed by a 90-day warranty.
That's the Device Pit Stop in the Zandale Shopping Center.
You gotta go to the Pit Stop for sure.
Hi, this is John from Barkley Blevins, with some tips to help prepare you for the colder weather ahead. When you're home and awake, set your thermostat as low as is comfortable. When you're asleep or out of the house, consider installing a programmable thermostat. Replace your furnace filter once a month or as needed. Keeping your furnace clean, lubricated, and properly adjusted will reduce energy use, saving up to 5% of heating cost. Schedule service for your heating system now. Call us at 859-252-3519.
Barkley Blevins offers financing on purchases of $700 or more. Call for details.
Central Kentucky's sports leader, WLXG, Lexington.
For more enjoyment and greater efficiency, consumption is being standardized.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I mean, some Michael Jackson songs you can remake and they're okay, I guess. This one's...
None Michael Jackson songs you can remake. No. They're okay.
You don't like this song? It's okay.
I don't.
I prefer the original, obviously.
Yeah, I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan.
You know, I was with last night, went to Monster Jam. Monster Jam. So loud. I'm surprised I can hear. Oh, I shouldn't have brought this up because there's one thing I just can't. I cannot go on without bringing up this grievance that I have at Monster Jam
You know what really grinds Dan's gears?
Exactly. It's, let me tell you this, it is extremely loud, like really, really hurts your ears. You can feel the pain inside your eardrum loud. But that's why you bring, like, you know, noise-canceling headphones and earplugs and stuff like that, which I prepared for. So I knew this going in. I'm fine with that. I'm not complaining about the noise. What I'm complaining about is a parent with an infant at the event. An infant. Mm. Infant eardrums. These are eardrums that can't be more than 6 to 8 months old, if that. You know, in one of those little car seats or whatever.
Yeah.
What do you call that thing? The carry, whatever.
Car seat. Yeah, it'll work.
Yeah. So got the baby in there, rocking the baby back and forth. Like, oh, don't cry. I know the monster trucks are loud, and they have been for 2 hours now, but it's okay. Are you kidding me? Good grief, man.
Yeah.
People like that, I mean, they should be reprimanded. Or I don't know what you do with them. It's just unfortunate, I feel, for...
Yeah. I mean,
kid could be deaf by three.
As a parent of a newborn, sometimes there's just things you have to say no to. Because if you can't find, and some people just can't, you can't find a babysitter or you can't find whatever.
Like,
you just,
I knew.
You just have to say no.
Look, I had the tickets for you and I knew that you and John wanted to go and bring Vivian. Right. You told me, you said, Dan
loves monster trucks.
Thank you. John is going to love it. It's all he's been talking about since they announced that monster trucks were coming to Rupp Arena. Yes, count us in. And then at the last minute, you went, we've made an adult decision as parents not to bring our infant to the monster truck show. No, it was a good show. It was a good time. So I was with twin 7-year-old boys, which are mine, a 5-year-old boy, which is the neighbor kid, and a friend of mine's 8-year-old nephew. And the two of us took those four kids over there. And so we asked them what kind of music they like. I don't know how we got on the topic, but... Anyway, so the nephew says Michael Jackson, Elvis.
Wow.
Brings up like some good ones. My boy's James Brown. They bring up James Brown. Bob Marley.
There you go.
So, we've got them on the right track. And then they go Justin Bieber. Ugh. But they call him Justin Bieber. Like the little kids call him Justin Bieber. They think it's Bieber. But the other kid is a little older. He's 8. And he goes, I liked when he dyed his hair at the Grammys. I liked the blonde hair. I like that. Shut up, boys. We're going to Monster Truck Show. We're leaving Bieber here.
But no one said Alien Ant Farm, right?
Exactly.
So we can never play that song again and be okay with it.
I'd be fine with that. Yes, I can do that. That's a sacrifice I'm more than willing to make.
Okay, we got to get to the sound from Cal.
Yes, Tyler Ulis, you know, some people believe he, well, we talked about this. He plays too much. So does Murray. I mean, Tyler Ulis leads the league in minutes. He just doesn't come off the floor. And Calipari tried to address it and said, we got a plan that we're absolutely going to put in someone else for Ulis, regardless of the time, score, and situation. We're going to give him a break at some point in the first half, at some point in the second half. Yes. So, that hasn't happened.
No.
That hasn't happened.
That has not happened.
So, Calipari is just trying to find a way to rest Ulis. Here's what he said.
I went in to talk to the guys about practice. And I was trying to back him off of practice. He said, don't do that. Because I did it for a couple days. He said, it'll screw me up. Let's go. Let's go up and down. So, stay with, you know. And in this game, I could have subbed him at some different points, but we could never get a gap, and I didn't feel comfortable with who I had in the game, so I was just trying to get out of there. But we only got one this week. We got 2 games. Regular season's over. We got some time, and we go into the tournament. He's fine. He had a bad shooting night. He's had bad shooting nights, just not that bad. And again, he even missed 2 free throws. And then you have one guy go 0 for 4, you got another guy go 0 for 2, and you have another guy go 0 for 4. 0 for 10, and you expect to win a game? and can I say this? Badly missed. Like, demoralizing misses to the right. Like, dudes, we play basketball. This is what we do. You guys, I mean, it is what it is right now, though.
Did you predict when...
I mean, I do think that sometimes. I'm like, guys, you're Division I basketball players.
Yeah.
At, like,
it's a free
the
throw.
Highest level. Yeah. And they're so... I would think they're easy to practice.
It's mental. It's just a mental thing. It's what it comes down to. I mean, look, if you and I...
One of 23, Dan.
If you and I, though, go out in, you know, the driveway and shoot free throws and then take us and put us, you know, in a game situation with, what, 15,000 people in the stands screaming on that stage and it's quiet and, or, you know, it gets quiet and, I mean, you're just on the stage. You're right there at that moment. It's just, I think it's just what it happens. Some people it gets them, some people it doesn't. And then the longer it goes, the worse it gets. Like, for Briscoe, it's to the point where it's a thing. It's a huge thing. And so he cannot step to the line without it entering his head that I have a hard time making free throws.
Where, like, if he gets fouled, I just chalk it up to a turnover.
Yeah. Right. All right, we got to get to break because Steve Jones from the Courier-Journal, he's at the NFL Combine, which is going on this weekend in Indianapolis. Josh Forrest and A.J. Stamps, former Wildcats, up there. And we'll talk to Steve Jones about it next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. You
got it! The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Catch the Dan and Mary Jo Show Saturday and Sunday, brought to you by Republic Bank. It's just easier here.
This is the sound of a 2013 Ford Escape from Bypass Motors in Lawrenceburg. This is the sound of a 2013 Ford Escape from somewhere else. Sounds the same, but when you take a closer look, you really start to spot the differences. The first thing you notice is the price. Bypass Motors posts their best price up front. No tricks, no haggling, and hundreds of dollars less than anywhere else. Turn on the ignition and look at the mileage. Looking for a vehicle with under 10,000 miles? You'll find it at Bypass. Kick the tires if the tread is close to 50% wear. Bypass Motors will put new ones on. Look at the car's history. You'll see one owner clean Carfax a lot at Bypass Motors. And let's not forget, you'll save hundreds of dollars on the same vehicle. But with Bypass Motors, it's in much better shape. Sound the same? Look the same. But there's a reason picky people pick Bypass. Better quality, better price, better experience. Bypass Motors in Lawrenceburg. 25 years and still going strong. BypassMotors.com.
Ride in your truck with style. On the road, off the road. That's the lifted life. Let your truck work for you. On the farm, on the job site. That's the lifted life. Take your truck out to play, at the lake, on the trail. That's the lifted life. Your truck is a part of you, whether it's for style, work, or play. So why not have the best of the best? Lucky's Off-Road is the truck accessories authority for getting you that lifted life. Lucky's installs everything you need to pull that boat, conquer that mountain, or function on that construction site. Suspension lifts, wheels and tires, winches, trailer hitches, toolboxes, bed covers, floor mats, step bars, bed liners, ladder racks, brush guards, vent visors, LED light bars, audio, video, you name it. Lucky's Off-Road has got it. Visit our showroom. Call Lucky's Off-Road at 859-299-4411 or get a quote at luckysoffroad.com today. Why? Because you deserve that lifted life. ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I've never seen a specimen like this before.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it.
Because you love sports just as much as we love sports. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
We're about to strike up a conversation with Mr. Jones. I love it.
That is correct.
Incidentally, that's my favorite band of all time.
You got to be kidding. Come on.
I'm not kidding.
You're not kidding?
My favorite album of all time is August and Everything After, which features this song.
So, have you ever seen them?
Yes.
Yeah?
Three times.
Wow. Well, I saw them.
It's not like they're Nickelback.
I was at, let's see, 2003 maybe? Something like that. New Orleans Jazz Fest. You know, recommend that. Highly recommend that if you're a music fan. And it was them on one stage or Taj Mahal on another stage. And the other folks that I was with, being young, hip people, I guess, wanted to see Counting Crows, including my wife. And I went, okay, I'll be over at Taj Mahal.
Oh, geez.
I love Taj Mahal.
I've never heard of that.
Haven't heard. He's a great blues man.
Okay.
Great blues man. Good stuff. Let's talk football. Steve Jones from the Courier-Journal is up there in Indianapolis for the NFL Combine. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for making time for us. What have you seen from the guys from Kentucky, Josh Forrest and A.J. Stamps?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm back in Louisville now.
Well, it's not that far of a drive, is it? It's not too far.
Yeah, I was back there on Friday. It's there's really no they don't let the media be on the field to watch the workouts. You kind of just watch on NFL Network along with everybody else. I was there on Friday for the media that they had on the day that the Josh Forrest spoke. AJ Stamps, I think, talks to the media today or tomorrow. Josh works out later today. He is not, I think he'll be, I would guess it'd be afternoon.
Well, I just now saw that Freddie Maggard, he just now tweeted that Forrest did 11 bench press reps of 225. So I guess that just now happened.
Okay. Yeah. So he's probably doing, some of the stuff you don't see on TV right now, and
right.
Then he'll be out on the field later. 11 bench presses is not great. I mean, I think that's probably one of Josh's strengths, or weaknesses is, or things he needs to improve on, is kind of improving his upper body strength and kind of the ability to sort of be really physical and shed some blockers. Obviously what he should do well at the combine is the running portion of it, and he said as much on Friday. That's where he feels like he can stand out, has put up a good 40 time. As UK fans know, it's the guy who came in from Paducah Tillman as a wide receiver and then bulked up and was going to play tight end. But he's essentially a linebacker in a tight end or a wide receiver's body who's become a very productive linebacker, but still he can move and can run. And that's what he's going to need to show today. And then eventually, when he gets into the pros, he's going to need to kind of build, I think his strength, his physical strength, up to that of an NFL inside linebacker. But I think he'll put up a good 40 time, and that would be a chance. You would think he would be able to put up one of the best times of a guy as an inside linebacker.
What about AJ Stamps?
I haven't seen. Stamps wasn't available when I was there to talk to him the other day. They kind of bring the guys in on different days. I don't think that the DBs work out until Tuesday, or at least tomorrow. So it'll be a while before we see Stamps. He's a guy obviously that had a great start to his career, and then didn't finish probably as strong as maybe some of the expectations were for him after he had that. That great interception, I think, in his first game at UK last year. So, I think he's looking, I would assume he's probably going to be a late round kind of guy. And, Josh Forrest said that he's hoping to get into the fourth round or better. He's that would probably be good. I think he's probably projected as a sixth or seventh round guy too at this point. The thing with Josh is that history has shown, every case is individual, but that Kentucky's had these guys that have been projected as sixth or seventh round guys and got drafted, like Trevathan and Woodyard and Avery Williamson, and they've gone on to be very, very productive players. And he said he's hoping to be the next one of those guys.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You took the words right out of my mouth, Danny Trevathan definitely was not seen as someone – capable of playing to the level that he's played at. Wesley Woodyard what is it now, almost 10 years, eight, nine seasons that he's been in the league and stuck with teams. And then now Avery Williamson just had a, what, he led the Tennessee Titans in tackles this past season. So the history is there, no doubt. Even Braxton Kelly was in the league for a little while as at least a practice squad player. So Josh Forrest, that you think that factors in a little bit at all with GMs where they can kind of point to the history of things?
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't know if they think about that. But I mean, obviously, just like those guys were, Forrest has been a productive SEC linebacker, and anybody that leads their team in tackles consistently and makes a bunch of stops in the SEC is a pretty decent pro prospect. And you know, and Josh, you know, he had that pick six against Louisville. He's a really athletic guy and has upside in that regard. You know, I think middle linebacker is kind of a position that you see. It's a thing that, you know, it's hard to find a guys that truly, truly stand out at middle linebacker. It's sort of a spot you think of in the NFL is that you could plug almost anybody in there and they'll be able to do it pretty well. But Josh has a little bit of an intriguing upside that he is such an athletic guy. So, you know, at the very least, I mean, I think Josh can make an impact on special teams, latch onto a team. And, you know, he said that at the Senior Bowl, he kind of was doing punt coverage and kickoff coverage for the first time that he'd done in a while. And he made some plays and those guys liked him down there that he did that. And that's really what you're looking for, at least getting into the league as far as earning your spot is being able to play special teams, because you're not going to come in there and be a starter for the most part. Although, you know, these players from UK that we mentioned have gone on to do that. I think that those guys are more natural linebackers than Josh. I mean, Josh has been playing this position for a few years, whereas those guys were some heady football IQ guys who were super productive players. Think about Avery Williamson.
Yeah.
I mean, was everywhere and knew exactly how to play that position, whereas Josh is still learning it and he'll kind of have to develop that in the NFL. But, you know, I think that his athletic ability and his potential to be a really, really athletic linebacker, even if he's not as polished fundamentally at the position or as strong upper body-wise as maybe other guys, you know, could help him get on a team and make him a little bit more of an intriguing prospect.
Hey, Steve, thanks for taking time for us this morning and talking a little football in the heat of as we approach March here in basketball season in this state.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate it. Always good to talk football, even when no football is going on.
Yeah. Steve Jones from the Courier-Journal.
Thank you
very much.
All right. Thanks, guys. See ya.
We're going to get to a break when we get back. Back to basketball on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The way you hurt me.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Sports scores, schedules, and all the latest news in the sports world. It's all just a click away.
I think that's great.
WLXG.com.
You got the goal.
Your connection to ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So you see, son, good manners are important. Should I go through it again?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Always say please, thank you, you're welcome, and excuse me. Sit up straight, hold doors open, don't speak with your mouth full, keep your elbows off the table. Share your things, play nice, and generally treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Got it?
Got it.
And stop picking your nose.
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But 2 minutes twice a day, making sure they brush their teeth, is easier. And it could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. Visit 2min2x.org to find out more. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
Hi, I'm Britney Spears. I've had the pleasure of singing all over this great nation, but today I'm lending my voice to the 15 million kids in America struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while 1 in 5 children may be left without enough food for a meal. But it doesn't have to be this way. That's why the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks helps to get food to families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to learn how you can help. Together we can solve hunger. Together we're Feeding America.
brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is John from Barclay Blevins' Colder Weather Plumbing Tips. Seal the air leaks around utility cut-throughs for pipes, gaps around chimneys, and unfinished spaces behind cupboards and closets. Turn down your water heater to 120 degrees. You'll save energy and avoid scalding your hands. Or if you have an older water heater, consider replacing it with a new energy-efficient model. Call Barclay Blevins, rated A-plus by the BBB, at 859-252-3519.
Barclay Blevins offers financing on purchases of $700 or more. Call for details.
It's cold and you're bored. Don't let the long winter get you down. Pick yourself up and get into Sky Zone Trampoline Park for a crazy good time. Bring some buddies. Bring the family and get after it. Book your tickets at skyzone.com/Lexington. It's locally owned and operated, and it's located at Boston Road and Man O' War. I take my kids in there all the time. It's the greatest. Sky Zone. It's awesome, healthy, fun.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Oh, so yesterday it was Matchbox 20, and then this is Three Doors
this
Down.
This is now it's Three Doors Down. Yeah.
Thank you, Josh. Do you realize your generation's music is like the most vanilla, worst, least creative crap that ever was?
No way. No way.
You are in an unfortunate situation. Think about...
My generation had Nickelback, man.
Exactly. Exactly.
Point made.
You think about the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, the 80s. There's some good stuff in there, but... I wouldn't call it great.
No. But.
The 90s, great. And then once you get into where Josh is, I mean.
NSYNC had its days.
Yeah, that's 90s. He said 90s, great.
Like, what were you in the 90s? Like, when you graduated high school was?
2009.
Yep, see. your entire music coming of age was post-2000, this century only.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the last century when you're talking about the dinosaurs that sit across from you.
Wow, 2009. So I literally did, I graduated high school before you were born? What year were you born?
1990.
Oh, I can't, my math skills really failed me there.
1990.
I was close.
I believe I saw MC Hammer and In Vogue at Thompson Bowling Arena in 1990.
Apparently, my parents tell me I was a big Vanilla Ice fan when that hit. So,
well, but you were born when that hit. What do you mean?
Well, I mean
that hit like when I was that hit like no, at 1990 no, or 91.
In the second Ninja Turtle movie, you remember the live action ones? They had it to where Vanilla Ice played a song, and it's an amazing song. You should listen to it. It's called Go Ninja Go, and it's awesome.
No. You have mischaracterized Vanilla Ice horribly. Vanilla Ice is known for Ice Ice Baby, and it's a ripoff of David Bowie's Under Pressure, and that was what made Vanilla Ice.
I don't know, Dan.
Someone...
There's a ding, 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 da, ding, ding, ting, ching, ting, ding, 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 da, ding, ding. It's not the same.
Just a hair different. Just a tad.
See, that's a soundbite that's like you would never know. I saw that when that actually he said it.
And that's the whole reason Vanilla Ice ever is even in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Look, Vanilla Ice had teenagers across the country shaving little slices into their eyebrows and to the sides of their head.
Meanwhile, our kids are like, you mean the guy that flips houses?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. All right, let's get back to basketball. Before we get off the air here, we have to let you hear what Calipari said here. This was the best thing he said probably at the very end of this soundbite here. But it starts with him being asked about Charles Matthew. In the middle, it winds up with him going in on Isaiah Briscoe, and it ends with a peace brother. So you know you want to listen. Play it, Josh.
Yeah, he blocked the shot. He came up. He did some stuff. And, yeah, he's that's who he's got to be. You know, I didn't think Isaiah had the same energy that he's had. So now all of a sudden you have another guy that's your defender and rebounder back. The rebound, the biggest rebound for us was the one that he went up to get, and the kid jerked it from him, Roberson, and then it was an A-1. I mean, that's the... So what happened? My fault. My fault? If this were the NCAA tournament, our season ended on a my fault? It's where we were today. Look, when you have a young team, these are all learning experiences. I told them, I'm fine, let's go. We're going home. We get ready for the next one. We got 2 days. We play Tuesday. Got a tough game down in Florida. Probably senior night. It'll be packed. They'll be ready to charge the court like these guys. It's, you know, and I'll do what I did down at Auburn and here. You just tell the guys, go in the locker room. Go. Beat it. I'm not going to get anybody hurt. I'll look at the coach. Peace, brother. Good win. And I run.
That was great. I do not think, though, if Florida beats Kentucky in Gainesville, I don't see a court storming coming out of Florida. I just don't see it that way.
I was not a fan of yesterday's, but I don't.
Yesterday's, I think it was just so built up that Vandy had to have it, and so they got it.
It was weak, weeks off, very weak.
So now you go to Florida and you got to play down there. We will talk about that game and more next Saturday on the Dan and Mary Joe Show. But we want to leave you with this. It's important.
Will we see
Derek Willis? I mean, is he going to play?
I have no idea. He'll probably take a picture of his ankle and send it to you guys. So
we tried. We covered it. All right.
Thanks.
Hey, America. We need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines